Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Love you too. Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down. Oh, yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
Some of the back conversation. What's the address, baby?
address?
Yeah, on Facebook. GQ Palace.
It's GQ Palace General Question.
Yes, so if you want to join in and get into some of the conversation that goes on behind the scenes, and it can get kind of funny also. So that's GQ Palace General Question.
And that's GEEQUE.
Yes. And just look it up on Facebook, join, jump in, and, you know, let us know what you have to say. If you're calling in, the website is blogtalkradio.com/GQ Palace-
You
know
tired?
Yeah, you know what? I love myself.
Put your tongue tied to the bottom of your mouth.
You know what? You know, it's been a very, very difficult week for me. So please excuse me. But listen, we're glad that you joined us tonight. So, honey, as we do every week, please tell us how your week was. Why I get myself.
My week.
On a Red Bull or something.
Yeah, please do. Because you sound tired.
Oh.
My week was fabulous. Actually, over the weekend on Saturday, I got to spend it with a group called Body Sculpt that had a sports and fitness expo for the children out in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And I was volunteering with the Zumba challenge for the adults. So all the activities except the Zumba challenge were for children of all ages. We had about 28 activities, excluding basketball. Imagine that. There was no basketball. Unfortunately, the instructor did not show up. So those who signed up for basketball had to...
Was there a big turnout? Because normally when you have fitness, health and fitness stuff in urban neighborhoods, you don't get the type of turnout that you expect. How was the turnout?
The turnout was excellent, and normally the event, it's been on for 10 years. The founder is Vincent Ferguson of Body Sculpt, and from what I understand, the event normally averages about a couple of thousand children throughout the course of the day participating in different activities. So,
see that many?
It wasn't that many, but it was a good amount, definitely. Each activity, you had stepping, cheerleading, double dutch, hula hoop, martial arts, fencing, archery, hip-hop dancing. It was so
no
much. No twerking.
No twerking?
No twerking.
Whew, thank God.
African dance.
Thank God, no twerking.
There was so much going on.
If I see one more booty shaking, I'm calling the police. That's all I'm saying.
And I had such a wonderful time that I did send Vincent an email to let him know that I was thankful that he brought this type of event to the community so that kids can, you know, see something else other than music and basketball. And unfortunately, like I said, the basketball instructor was not able to show up, so they had to cancel that event and have the kids participate in something else. But I was almost glad because it gave a kid the opportunity to look for other kids. So that was Saturday. Then, for those of you who don't know, and I don't understand how you can't know, Monday was the start of Full Figure Fashion Week.
Full Figure Fashion Week.
Full Figure Fashion Week, produced by DeVoe Symmetry Events. And I... having technical difficulties.
That's the excitement.
Yes. Well, I hope our people can still hear us. So, I went to the first event actually was, the first event that I attended was on Tuesday. The event started on Monday, and it was Curve for the Cure, which was a celebrity runway showcase. I got a nice picture of Shaquille O'Neal's mother, Lucille O'Neal, who graced the runway, and she did an excellent job, I have to say so. I got to take pictures with Yolanda Moore, who is a WNBA champion.
Former.
Yes, former WNBA champion.
For the Houston Comets.
Thank you, honey. Like, I would not have expressed that. But she is also...
It's cold being a co-host. I'm sorry.
Don't interrupt me.
Yes, ma'am.
She's also an author, and she's one of the sweetest person and inspirational people I have met a very long time, and I was happy because we've been Facebook friends for some time now, so I was able to meet her in person at the show. She also graced the runway and looked very beautiful, and it's okay. There were so many other celebrities. I remember everyone. Of course, the CEO herself, executive producer of Full Figure Fashion Week, Ms. Gwenda Vogue, Grace Page, and her bestie, Sharon Quinn. If you don't know Sharon Quinn,
one of them sexy cougars.
Sharon Quinn is very beautiful, statuesque. Google her.
Also, if you have ever get the luxury of watching Miss Quinn watch others walk.
Don't do that to Miss Quinn. You leave her alone.
Let me tell you something. When somebody's walking and it's not looking quite right, you want to see something funny? Watch Miss Quinn's face when she's like she just had some bad food. What is that? She is even more fun on the sideline. But yeah, she is a tremendous. Actually, together they're tremendous, and they're friends of the show, and friends of Tiff and I. We appreciate them dearly.
Yes. So I haven't been able to attend all the festivities of Full Figure Fashion Week. There's something going on every day. There's even something going on this evening, I believe, at Bloomingdale's.
I think that was
early. Yeah, but there's something else going on this evening. But tomorrow, there's actually the Independent Designer event. And Saturday, which is the next event that I'm attending, is the Boutique Retailer Fashion Show and Award Show, where the Full Figure Fashion Week team gives awards to people in the full figure fashion industry. So I'm looking very much forward to. I'm also on Saturday attending the Mermaid Parade at Coney Island for the first time.
Crown and Stash on.
Yes, with Crown and Stash on. So if you're in Coney Island and you're going to the Mermaid Parade, please look out for me.
And please take a picture with her and her big swollen head. Her crown will look real tiny on her big head.
Stop it.
But please take a picture of her, because if I got to hear about this Crown and Stash, I didn't know winning a national pageant would be this much stress on the husband. I ain't even compete, and I'm going through the stress. So please take a picture with her so I ain't got to hear about it when she get home.
I am not stressing. Anyway, so how was your week, Nate?
That's it? Nothing else going on?
No, that was my week.
My week has been quiet. As I said last week, trying to close out school year. Graduation is tomorrow, but actually the week has been good and bad. Was able to find a vehicle that I think settled on, a 2002 Tahoe. Finally get back my own ride. I can't be dealing with other people's rides, and the New York City subway system and bus system doesn't work, because I just can't be that close on the train, man. I mean, you're booty to booty, chest to chest, and people breathing your chin, and they breathing in your, and some people, it's not, anybody that's been in New York City subway when it's crowded knows exactly what I'm talking about. Try to find your own little piece of heaven, somebody climbs up in there with you, and then it squeezes up, and there's always one person that stinks, and it just is not cool. Now it's starting to get hot, not happening, so we were able to find a ride.
I don't know what you complain about, you are just so spoiled. I haven't seen the train since I was in middle school. And yes, it's difficult.
That's because she don't drive. She ain't a driver's license. She ain't fooling nobody. She had a driver's license. She be driving. Anyway, yes, I do not like the bus and train, even though I live here in New York City. Whatever. But found a ride. And then also, you know, a lot of folks know I placed it on Facebook. I'm dealing with some things with my grandmother. Her health is not the best. I ask folks to pray for her. And, you know, I don't mind talking about it, because Tiff and I, we live our lives in a transparent way, so we put it out there. But we're not scared to ask other folks to pray, because where things are right now, any request to the Lord for her help is going to be appreciated, because I just want to be able to get her home so she can be comfortable, and we'll take it from there. So I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details. Just know that it's at that point where, you know what, it's in the Lord's hands, and we're going to take it from there. So I'm having to deal with that this week. And I was going to go away to West Hartford. Shout out to Cynthia James, my friend on Facebook, who invited me to an event up in West Hartford. And I'm not going to be able to attend the event, so I'm a little disappointed about it. I was excited about the first event for the summer, take the ride up there. But there'll be others, and I reached out to Cynthia and explained to her to please invite us back to future events, because the summertime is when Tiff and I do our greatest traveling. Get the information out about the books and the things that we're working on. So, and that's really it. Just really trying to take it easy. got the track shoes or be out walking. So if you see a big brother trying to become a smaller brother, you understand what it is. And this is what's going on. So, with that said, what's going on in the news?
The news. Actually, in Arkansas.
Why is that news? I have no idea why you chose news in Arkansas, but okay.
Because a 13-year-old is recovering after he was stabbed in the neck with a catfish barb.
Okay, so let's break this down for me. Somebody stabbed him or the fish stabbed him?
The fish.
So the fish fought back and won. No, I ain't getting in no damn boat.
Well, his family.
Oh, hold on. Is he okay? He didn't die, did he?
No, he's okay.
All right, because I ain't want to be making jokes and the kid expired.
You would make jokes anyway.
No comment.
You just can't help yourself.
No comment.
But basically, the little boy, 13 years old, his mom and dad, they went fishing and caught a catfish. Now, as the mom was holding the catfish, she made a joke about kissing it. But when the son went to kiss the catfish, apparently it started wiggling. His tail smacked the little boy in the neck.
Catfish said, I may be eating, but I'm not going to be disrespected. I'm taking one of y'all with me. Yeah, catfish. That's what I'm talking about. Are you going to kiss me before you kill me? Ha! I got your kid. Yeah, catfish.
So basically, once the...
Ain't that how the crocodile hunter went out? Oh no! It was a stingray.
But
it flipped its tail and mm-hmm. stabbed in the chest. But then mm-hmm. they said he did more damage by pulling it
they
out.
They said he should have left the stinger in.
The barb. It's like a right. It's like a bayonet. They said.
Right. They said that pulling it out actually is what caused him to that if he would excuse me, if he would have left the stinger in
and then let the
doctors and let the doctors do what they needed to do, he probably would have survived. Which what's funny is. This was a similar situation.
So he comes in the hospital with a catfish stuck to his face.
Well, they called 911, and ambulance was there. They had to wait because, remember, the...
It was in his throat?
The barb, yes, it was in his throat. The barb was still attached to the catfish and stuck in a little boy's throat.
And the fish is wiggling and everything.
Yes, so the mother, she was about to try to take it out. She realized that a vein was bulging, and she left it in.
And they just cut the catfish tail
so
off.
So they had to wait for ambulance to come and make sure that everything...
Okay.
And then they had to also wait for the fish to settle down. It took 30 minutes to even get the fish.
Fish was like, I'm taking it with me.
Imagine
yeah, catfish.
Fish was catfish out of water.
Catfish was not going out like a sucker. Yeah, catfish.
I didn't even know fish could last that long out
yeah,
of water.
Yeah, catfish. He did.
But...
Only they don't. Catfish is like, I'm staying. I'm taking it with me.
I'm taking, that's exactly.
What I'm talking about. Catfish said, I'm going to break a record. I'm going to stay alive out of the water for like a half an hour until I take this cat with me. Y'all might have fried fish, but not him.
So,
yeah, catfish.
It took about 30 minutes for them to get the catfish under control in order to cut the barb.
Wow, yeah, catfish, he went out swinging.
And then rushed the little boy to the hospital.
Oh, man.
And when they showed the x-rays, the barb was about 2 centimeters away from the vein.
Okay.
Yes, that would have
wow.
actually killed him.
Wow.
So his mom was very smart. Because, you know, the barbs are jagged. They're not smooth. What people don't know, they have edges on them. What are you laughing about?
I'm sorry. I was reading in GQ Palace. Tiffany got a head like Gina from Martin.
Who said that? Who said that? You know what? I thought you guys were my friends.
That's so true.
You know?
That's so true.
It is not true.
Yes, but go ahead.
Anyway.
So my man, so the catfish caught it, huh?
So the catfish caught
and
it.
The young man's okay?
The young man is okay.
Couldn't save both, huh?
Listen.
It's a fish for the kid.
It is what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Oh, well. Catfish had his moment.
Yes. And then, in more news. Now, I don't know if I'm going to put the link to this on the GQ Palace page so you guys can see it. But I was at work, because like I told you guys, when we're at work, we look at current events and we discuss it. And some things are really lighthearted, but other things, it makes you feel outraged. There was a little boy, 7 years old, second grade, in Canada. who took a picture with his second grade class, you know, the annual school picture, and he's in a wheelchair because he's physically disabled. He's in a motorized wheelchair.
Okay.
In the picture, he is actually off to the side while his classmates are sitting together with their teacher. And it almost looks as if he's not even a part of the class.
I'm looking at the picture now.
Look at the other picture. Look at the other picture. It's further down. You see that?
Oh.
You see that? Horrible. If you are listening, please go to the GQ Palace page so you can actually see the picture. I said, if this was my second grader, my 7-year-old son, I would be just as angry as
his mother. Or you can check out NewYorkDailyNews.com. But, jump into the GQ Palace general question site so you can actually join into the conversation with us. It is at least 2 to 3 feet.
Yes.
Let me paint this picture for you. Now, imagine the ordinary class picture talking about 3 rows of kids. You have 1 row of kids sitting. You have the second row of kids standing behind those kids. And, of course, you have the taller kids who are standing in the 3rd row that are standing up. You have the teacher standing off too, and if you're looking directly at the picture, the teacher would be to your left side, which would be the kid's right side. Well, to the far left side of the kid, which is your right side, if you're looking at the picture, is 2 to 3 feet away from the picture, got a tremendous smile on
yes.
his face.
Yes.
But he's
it broke
clearly,
my heart. It
he
broke
is
my
clearly
heart.
Put off to the side from his classmates. Now, wheelchair, and I understand the wheelchair might have been difficult to maneuver, and you put him out front
yes,
and maneuver
exactly.
the kid, and we've done this because I've worked with children with wheelchairs. When you take pictures, you have, and that's really like a mini bleacher that they have the kids sitting on. What you do is you put the kid in the wheelchair dead center, and instead of having the kids in the first row sit, you have
they
the kids
stand.
In the first row stand, but what they do is they stand up, and you have 2 kids stand next to the wheelchair. You move the other kid, so it basically makes a 4th row.
Right.
So you take the kid in the wheelchair, you put the 2 kids next to him, with each have a hand on the wheelchair, so that puts them in close proximity. Then you make the other kid stand up behind. So you have the 3 rows standing up behind him, 2 of his classmates standing right next to him, so he's not feeling left out, and then the chair kind of just disappears in the picture. But the way they have it here, they clearly put him off to the side. Now, he may be too young to realize it, but his smile doesn't give away anything.
It sure doesn't.
But I really have to say that's disrespectful to that child.
Totally. And I'm
and
surprised
it's
as an adult, that the adults, the teacher, the photographer, no one stopped to think, how can we make this? And we, in New York especially, we talk about inclusion of, you know, the mentally challenged, the physically challenged. It's just no way in the world that they should have taken that picture and thought that it was okay.
And we have a guest that's coming on later on. Her name is Terrell Ebony, or Terrell Ebony, and if I got your name wrong, Ms. Ebony, please forgive me. And she's a youth activist, and we're going to ask her how she would feel if she had to work with in this situation, or even what her thoughts are on this, because, you know, we have to protect our children. And even though this young man has a tremendous smile and maybe they thought the outcome justified what they did, you know what? Just because a kid doesn't understand or realize what's going on doesn't make what you did to him right.
Absolutely.
And in this particular case, seeing this child off to the side and seeing the grin, well, imagine this. How much bigger would that grin have been right there in the mix with his classmates where they're physically touching him? And we know that kids respond to touch. We know that kids respond to being in the center of things. So to see it like that is just, that's sad. Bad, baby.
I have to say that they did retake the photo because they received such negative feedback from people, I guess from all over the world, after seeing this photo, because this photo was posted a few days ago and we were talking about it at work. So when I looked today, because I wanted to talk about it in, you know, the program today, I looked to see that they retook the class photo with him sitting next to his classmate.
Oh,
so if you look at the first picture, that's the actual second picture that the class took, and he's sitting on the bench next to his classmates, and you don't see the wheelchair. And not that the wheelchair is a problem, because they could have took a picture with the wheelchair, but to put him off to the side as if he wasn't even part of the class, that was totally not well thought out at all.
And you know, the crazy part is, If you had to take the picture the second time, do you know it was wrong the first time? How did they get the? How did this picture get out? Did they say how the picture came out?
Well, the mom made a complaint. So apparently, you know how parents are.
So they sent the picture?
The mom, well, these are class pictures. So when the mom received the picture, she ready to share it with everyone because it's a class picture.
Okay.
But then when she saw it, she was outraged, and she had a definite right to be outraged. So, of course, she contacted the media, and she had a right to do that. I'm thankful that she did that, to bring attention to it. And maybe this is something that can be avoided in the future with other schools in the same situation.
You know what? Whatever they catch, they deserve, because you know what? You should have stopped and thought at first. I'm a little tired of being so nice and so, it's okay, we made a mistake. You know what? If that was your child, you would have thought a little different, thought deeper. And let's start treating children with a little better thought. Especially children that are already having the problem of being disabled in today's society, when we know today's society is not a giving and caring society. Why create more of a situation for the child? So, you know what? If they're sanctioned, they're fine. It is what it is. I hope some people don't lose jobs. Somebody's got to pay for this situation because it's ridiculous.
Now,
what else is going on in the news?
I have to mention it because...
Paula Deen was late?
We're not... Wait a minute. Before we get to Paula Deen,
yeah.
I have to mention it, and I'm also going to paste the video in the GQ Palace forum. Earlier this week, my friends and I, we got on Facebook, and we actually had a Facebook forum. This USA pageant was on television. And congratulations to Miss Connecticut for home the title of Miss USA. Now, the reason why...
More pageant stuff.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is because Miss Utah bombed her question so bad.
Let me get the question.
Okay, give me a second. I'm going to get the question. Where's the question?
Get yourself together. Make time.
Okay. Basically, it was what were her thoughts on the fact that women still earn less than men, and what does that say about society?
Oh, God.
Okay. When I tell you, and I've been there, I had my pageant question. My pageant question was actually easy because it was, who was your mentor? And I had to answer this question on stage. And, of course, I said my mentor was my husband, and I gave my reason why. Well, to me, she should have been way more prepared for her question and her answer. And I say this because she fumbled hard, and we all were in a forum like, oh, my gosh, she's dropping a ball. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So go to the video, look at it, because when I read it, it's not going to give as much emphasis as watching the video. But she says, I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to strive to... Then she pauses, knowing that she's messing up. Figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem, and especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out to create education better.
Is that English?
So that we can solve this problem. Thank you. I kid you not.
English? What?
We all, yes. We were like, what? And she paused twice, and a long pause, and you could see the expression on her face that she knew she bombed. And the bad part about it is when you don't get your on-stage question, you could lose a lot of points depending on the weight of the competition. She still ended up being third runner-up, but it was just that she messed up so bad. So definitely take a look at the video, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Make a comment, GQ Facebook page.
And finally,
Paula Deen.
Everybody's Southern Chef.
Everybody knows Paula Deen. I happen to love Paula Deen and her little Southern accent and her hospitality. Jimmy Deen, the sausage?
Uh-huh.
You are some...
you got to check.
She's not married.
No relation?
She's not married to Jimmy Deen, no.
I'll check it.
But Paula Deen is in the news being sued for apparently sexual harassment in the workplace and discrimination. And what's funny is Kale and I were having a discussion about this because Paula Deen actually admits to saying the N-word. Y'all can have an idea what the N-word is. But to her defense, yes, I said to her defense, I told Kale that Paula Deen is 66 years old. So she grew up during a time where that was commonplace. She said that she does not use the N-word anymore now. But in the past, she has used it. And she said she doesn't think it's acceptable, she doesn't discriminate, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, she's being sued. Now, Kale, do you have that article where they said that she wanted all black servers at her brother's wedding?
No, I do not. But basically what she said was she wanted all black servers because she got the idea from an event that she went to because she thought that it was post-Civil War, pre-Civil War, but she thought they might have been slaves. All right, check this out. First of all, that's just ridiculous. And the idea that she has two folks of color suing her for the way that they were treated, and then she thought seeing a bunch of folks in color, I mean, of color in suits with bow ties on reminded her of slavery. Come on, where your head at? And yes, I understand her age, but you know what? You got to come out of the darkness and into the light, and you just can't do certain things. I may not agree with certain lifestyles. I may not agree with certain ways of life. I may not agree with just certain types of people, but I just got to keep my mouth shut in today's day and age because we live in a society where everything is recorded. Everything is put out. You cannot justify your age as being the excuse for you acting stupid. And for the face of a lot, you're on television, you're on the cooking shows, you're everywhere. You cannot have those racist views and make them public. And if you're treating people badly behind the scenes in your restaurant, you deserve whatever you catch. That's just ridiculous. You know, it's time got to stop. If people treat folks of color like second-class citizens, and it's like everyone seems to make an excuse, but the minute a brother or sister of color makes a mistake about anyone, any person, any color, any gender, they want to put everything on them. So I'm not accepting that. Yo, Chad Ochocinco had his lawyer on the behind playing in court 30 days because the judge didn't like the fact that everyone in the courthouse laughed. Paula Deen is calling people niggas and admitting it. So this, I'm sorry.
She didn't say that she's currently calling
anyone nigger. But the fact
she
that
said she used the term in the past.
But she brought up in a deposition.
But if I used the term when
hold
I was 15, if I
hold
said
on,
the
hold
if
on,
I said the
hold
N-word
on,
when I was 15 and now
no,
I'm 66, you're going to hold
no,
me
no.
for saying the N-word when
not,
I was 15?
Not at all. You were at a deposition for court.
Okay.
Two people are suing you saying that you treat them inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
You then admit that at one time you used to say these things.
Okay,
now, they're
because
saying,
I'm supposed
hold on,
to tell the truth.
They're saying that you've done this in the restaurant currently. Then you try to follow it up with, well, they're just jokes. People make jokes about Jews and people make jokes about blacks.
No, that's not what she said.
No,
because
she did.
What she said, the question that was posed to her was, do you think people can be offended? Do you think people use this term as a joke? And she was saying, yes, that she agrees that people use the term as a joke, but people also joke about Jews and gays and
yeah,
a whole lot of other
they're
stuff.
At comedy clubs, not at work. So let's stop it.
Uh-huh.
At a comedy club where I'm getting paid to tell jokes, yes, but when I'm at work, you don't use these terms. Whether you're 66, 26, 36.
She didn't say she used the term.
Well, she'll say when she paid that one point whatever million that they're trying to get. Anyway, we're past the time because we have our guest getting ready to come on, Miss Terrell. Terrell, and we got to make sure we got to check
Ebony.
Terrell Ebony. We got to make sure we got her name correctly. We're going to come back in two songs, and we're going to have our wonderful guest on. She's going to tell you everything that she's doing. She's an author. She's an activist. But we'll run down her bio as soon as we come back from the break. This is Reality Relationships. I'm up now. I'm awake now. I got
Thank
my
you.
Red Bull.
Thank you for getting it right.
This is Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. We'll be back in two songs with our special guest for tonight.
You're lonely.
Reality and Relationships. This is K.L. Belvin. I'm sitting here with my lovely host, Braxton Belvin. And we decided to cut the music a little short because we have a wonderful guest that we're about to bring on. And she is author and an activist. But I'm going to let my wife explain a little something about who she is, and then we'll bring her on so she can explain herself. Go ahead, darling.
Founder and executive director of the Misunderstood Youth Development Center, Terrell Ebony is a parent, entrepreneur, parent life coach, public speaker, family youth advocate, community leader, and now an author. Terrell is very passionate about helping disadvantaged youth and families mentally and socially prepared to live in a society understanding human behaviors, how it relates to the growth and development of life. Terrell's mission is to educate and advocate causes that will empower youth, families, and communities to unite. Welcome, Ebony.
Outstanding. Miss Ebony, are you there? Miss Ebony, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
How's it going tonight?
Everything is good. I'm blessed. Thank you for having me on.
Now, my wife and I have been debating about this behind the scenes. Is it Terrell or Terrell? I said Terrell, but we wanted to make sure. How do we pronounce it?
Terrell.
Okay. See, I told
you. Door number one.
Excellent. Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming on. And we're happy to have you. So let's get right into it. And let me apologize first. I know we said exactly 30. We ran a little long talking about the news. So we're going to be here for as long as you'd like to stay with us. We're not going to rush you off anything, so don't feel that you're going to be rushed. Pull up a seat. If you got something to drink, well, don't get drunk, but just go ahead and eat. So tell us a little bit about who you are so the folks listening can get a feel for who you are.
I am Terrell Ebony Demondonza by birth. I go by Terrell Ebony because Demondonza is just way too long. I started an organization, the Misunderstood Youth Development Center, back in 2005, really based on some trials and tribulations that I saw my son having. Simultaneously, I started to write my book, Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope. I am all about parenting. I don't know where it came from. It is definitely God-sent because growing up, I didn't even think I was going to have children. I was like, children, why would I want to do something like that? But at 19 years old, I got pregnant. I had my son, and everything has been all about parenting ever since. And because of that, everything that I have done in my life has been about family, has been about the youth, it has been about helping parents kind of see the error in their ways and trying to hold them accountable and responsible for certain actions that their child may be taking. I realize that, you know, when our children are graduating, you're on Facebook and you're seeing everybody talk about, oh, my baby's graduating, you know, and they're bigging up their child and I love them to death. But then when the child is not doing something, you know, not doing the right thing, it's, oh, that child is messing up and it's the child's fault. But I try to explain to parents all the time that things happen in life, but we as parents also have to take on some of the responsibility. If our children are acting up, that didn't just start happening. The child is out of control. You see, you know, you're walking in the stores and you see these children falling down on the floor. That didn't just start happening.
True.
It's been happening. It's, you know, it's a matter of respect, and that respect is diminishing. And that can happen at a very early age in life if they're not taught the right things and if they're not shown the right things. You have to show respect in order to get respect, and that's a lot of the pieces that parents don't seem to get. So I am a parent coach, and I try to really speak and empower parents to build up themselves and to really take care of themselves so that they can take care of their children, understand themselves first so that they can understand their children. The same way people say you can't love anyone else, but they're usually referring to a man or a woman. They say you can't love anyone else unless you love yourself. But the same thing holds true for children. You can't really love your child if you don't love yourself. You can't teach your children certain things if you don't know yourself. You have to educate yourself. You have to take care of yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to empower yourself in order to then infuse all of that into your children.
So, go ahead, honey. I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby.
You know, you're trying to take over the conversation.
No, I'm excited because she's speaking on my language now. I'm excited.
My language too.
So I know what I'm talking about. She may have to stay here all night. Yeah.
Carol, what I wanted to ask you, because this is, I'm so glad to hear you say that parents need to be accountable for some of their children's actions and not make it seem like it's just a child and they did everything right. As a parent coach, because I know for myself when I speak to parents, they make it seem like I do everything right, I don't know what's going on. But as a parent coach, do you ever encounter parents that actually apply the techniques that you instill, or they just say, I tried that already, it doesn't work?
Both. When a parent first comes, you know, and I first start speaking to a parent, I get that. I tried this, I tried that, and it's possible that you did. Sometimes it's not the way you do something. Maybe it's the way you say something. Sometimes it's not the way you say something. It's the way you do something. So I try to also give it to them from a different approach. And if you did try all those things, okay, then let's try something different. We got to be creative, especially with our youth today. We got to think outside the box.
Well,
you know, we can't really go old school on them all the time and expect it to work. We have to know when we can go old school and when we can come to today, and then when we got to think outside the box to tomorrow.
Got you. Now, like I said, you speak in my language because I'm an educator, and everyone knows I've been teaching 16 years, and what you're saying is what I have been attempting to get parents to do, because they'll say, well, Mr. B, he listens to you in school, I don't understand what's wrong. And I say, well, that's the problem, is because
exactly.
I shouldn't have more control over your child than you do. So let's sit down and let's see what I'm doing that I can give to you that you can do at home, so we have a partnership. So that leads me to my question is, how long do you find it takes with certain parents? Because I know when we're talking about working in the urban neighborhoods, it's not what everybody
mm-hmm.
thinks. It takes a minute to get folks to give in. How long does it take for some of the parents to release and let you in to be able to be the professional? Because it seems like some parents are scared to allow a professional to be exactly that. How long, like, give me an idea of what that normally looks like when you're putting that together.
You're absolutely correct. and it's very challenging. I didn't realize at the time when I took on this endeavor of studying parenting that parents were so closed-minded. And it's unfortunate, but many times, more often than not, it's when a child is locked up, beat up, bullied, or something really negative.
Yeah.
To when that parent will say, you know something, I've tried everything, and maybe I'll give this a chance. And even until when they are, you know, locked up, or when it is like, I did everything I could do with this child. This child, you know, just doesn't listen to me, and they don't see that that's the problem. They don't see the level of disrespect. They don't see that the communication has dropped off. And that's the reason why your child is doing what they're doing, because you have absolutely no control over your child anymore. And you let it get that far. Yep. Most of the times, also, it's the enabling. They don't realize. They say, well, how is it that your child is cutting class every day but wearing a Louis Vuitton belt?
There it is, $700 worth
yes.
of clothes,
yes.
but can't read or is okay. When they got suspended on Monday, but they just came in with a new jacket or a
exactly.
new iPod.
Exactly. And those are the things that parents don't seem to understand. Well, my child needs a pair of sneakers. I can't send him outside barefoot. I'm not saying to send him outside barefoot, but his sneakers don't need to cost $250 either, especially when he's taking those same sneakers on his feet and not using them to go to school and get his education. Those are the things that I have a problem with. You're going to buy him a little $50 Converse, and he's going to skippy his behind the school.
Very true.
Right, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Terrell Ebony, and she's laying down the realness. And, you know, she's a child activist, a life coach. She's also the author of Losing Love, Finding Hope. I mean, I'm sorry, did I get it right? Losing
no.
Love. You know what? It's been a rough night for me tonight.
He messed up the radio show name.
You know what?
Let me
step back. Let me have the title of your book again. And you know what's crazy? I'm looking right at it, but I don't have my glasses on. So please.
Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope.
I was like, that's an H. Okay, thank you. Yeah, you know what? Because I'm so happy to hear you say the things that you're saying, because, you know, I say to parents, you know, if I told you somebody touched your child, you walk off the job to get here to deal with whoever did whatever that was disrespectful to your child. Why did it get to that point first? Could have came to me and we could have sat down and did something before. And you being
Absolutely.
A life coach and activist, that's very important that folks understand that when someone like you writes a book and you put information out, these are the books that you should have in your armory to help you with your child. These are the individuals that you should meet and talk. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, Terrell Ebony is somebody that you really should get with, because when someone actually says, I am making it my mission to go out to make changes, that means they're doing some of the legwork for you. You now have to come to them to get the resource. They can't cook the food and then serve the food and bring it to your house. You got to come and get some of it. My wife has a question for you, Doc.
Terrell, my question is, how do you respectfully and delicately tell someone that they are a bad parent?
Well, I don't tell anyone that they're a bad parent.
There we go.
I don't tell anybody that they're a bad parent. Because there's no perfect science to parenting.
There we go.
So what I delicately say is that there's some things we're going to need to improve on.
We got some things to work on.
Yeah, we're going to work on you, Mommy. We're going to work on you, Daddy. Don't worry. We're going to work it out, and I'm going to be here with you every step of the way. And I try to make them feel very comfortable in that they're not in it alone, because I realize by the time they get to me, most of the time, they are overwhelmed. They are stressed out. They have anxiety. They probably got blood pressure problems and all other kind of problems. So before we can even get to the nitty-gritty of the child, I have to get the parent to a oneness, to a peaceful place first. So this way they can even be open-minded to anything I have to say. Because if they come through the door with all that stress and all that anxiety, they're not even hearing me. It's going in one ear and coming out the other. It's like womp, 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 womp.
Gotcha.
So we have to get you, the parent, at a place where you would even be receptive to the information.
Yeah, definitely. Now, my wife and I are faith-based couples, so let me ask you this question. What role does faith or spirituality play in your efforts?
It's everything.
Amen.
It is everything. Because if you don't have faith, and you don't, if you don't have faith in a higher power, I tell people, I can't tell you to love Jesus, God, whoever it is that you pray to, you know, whoever it is that you pray to, you drop down on your knees, you lay down in your bed. I'm not telling you how to do it, where to do it, when to do it.
In your closet, in your car, wherever you got to get.
Exactly. When you, because honestly, I tell people, I pray all the time throughout the day. It's not only when I wake up in the morning. It's not only when I go to bed at night. It's not only when I'm, you know, right before I eat my dinner. It is all hours of the day. Anytime I feel like saying thank you, Jesus, I say thank you, Jesus. Anytime I feel like I had a defining moment, if I had an aha moment, even the times when I feel sad, I'm thanking you. Because you know why? I'm thanking you that you're going to pull me through it.
Got you, got you. And that's excellent. And the reason why I asked that question is, and, of course, I'm asking some loaded questions because I knew faith was part of it, but I wanted folks to hear from you because when people wonder where folks like yourself or my wife and I get that extra energy from, like, how do you put up with such these I hate when I hear people say bad kids. There's no bad kids. There's misunderstood kids. There's kids that don't get it. And our job as professionals is try to show them how to do it. Now, I'm going to ask you one question, and then we're going to get into the book because I want folks to hear about your book. I'm going to ask you one more question. In this vein, have you ever had to just cut a parent and child loose because just couldn't reach them?
Oh, most definitely. There are parents that are so, again, closed. And they're closed. Notice I didn't say closed-minded. They're closed in all the different hurtfulness and bitterness and anger and anguish, things that they've been through in their lifetime that they're not ready to receive it yet.
Gotcha.
They have lost their faith.
Gotcha.
So I have to know when to say, you know something, when you're ready, you'll be back.
Gotcha. And I know that's difficult. That's why I ask, because that you can, and I always joke, is that if I throw the life preserver out to you, throw it back in the boat, I'm not going to throw it a second time because somebody else could be out here drowning. Why am I going to try to give you something that you don't want or don't even understand that you need? I'll wait, and if I lose out, then I just have to go hard with the next person. So I had to ask you that. Now, let's talk about your book. Please, let's go through this. Tell us everything about why somebody needs this book today.
Okay, the book. I'll start at the beginning with the title.
Okay.
Everyone hears the title, and let me just ask you, when you first heard the title, Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Actually transition, change. Like I felt it was right along the lines of what my wife and I do, so I thought it was about change and transition.
Okay. Most people, see, you're on a different level.
Thank you.
You're on a different
that.
Level. Most people go straight into love. So this is a romantic story. You know what I mean? That's the first thing
you.
Is a boyfriend girlfriend relationship. And yes, there is some of that in there, but losing love, having faith, finding hope. Love, faith, and hope are characters in the book.
Okay.
Love is the father, faith is the mother, and hope is the child.
Excellent.
So it's a story about Hope losing his father, having his mother, and finding himself.
Nice. So now, what would you say your book brings to someone when they sit down and curl up with it? What's one of the main things that you know someone's going to take away from the read when they get your book downloaded or if they get it in hand? Is it available in physical copy or just on ebook?
Both.
Okay, so when they get it in hand or they download it, what's one of the things that you know they're going to take from it?
Depends on who we're talking about, because this book is for everybody.
Ooh,
this
okay.
book is for the this book is for the father, it's
okay.
for the mother, it's for the community leader, it's for the children, it's for adults, period. It's a little bit of everybody. People say, oh, well, I don't have a child. I said, but you are someone else's child. So there's something in it for you. You're not just thinking about the 10-year-old. You are someone's child.
this book has so many different elements in it. I tell a story, and it's a very powerful story, and it's somewhat of a biography of the things that I saw my son go through, things that I went through, things that his father went through, mistakes that we've made, challenges that we've had, things that we've had to overcome, successes that we've had, all of the things that we went through and how it ultimately affected the child involved. So I tell the happy love story of how we met. I tell the growing pains of how we departed and the things that we went through in between. I talk to the significant other, whether male or female. You can make yourself love, you can make yourself faith, it's up to you. But I talk to that significant other. If you see this man does not want to be with you, walk away. Mm. If you see, you can't make him do anything that he doesn't want to. You cannot change him. So then when you turn around and you try, then you get pregnant and you think that he should be there, and then you get upset with him because he's not there. That's not his fault. That's your fault.
Speak on it. You got to take some of that blame.
Your fault. Yes, you have to take some of that blame. And I had to do that. I had to do that as Faith. I spent years, it's his fault. You know, he should be taking care of his child, but he told you he wasn't ready.
Mm.
That's
so important, and we deal with that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Tiff and I, we sit down and we talk to a lot of couples, and a lot of couples come to us, and a lot of times the person who initiates the conversation with us, they'll go right into what's wrong with their significant other, the boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. But one of the first things we listen for is that, well, at what point do they take on some of the weight or
right.
some of the
Absolutely.
Blame themselves? And many folks don't want to do that. They
mm-hmm.
won't say, well, you know, he didn't say, like, if you got a young dude who's getting it in and he tells you, I'm slinging it, and you go, okay, let's get it in, and then now you mad because he doesn't want to stop slinging it. Well, the brother told you he was slinging
That's right.
it. So how you now going to bug out? And it's vice versa. Dudes is like, well, she told me she wanted to be with me. Tonight? You just didn't. You let that part go past because you thought you was the man. And
Absolutely.
We try to put the mirror back up against somebody else so they can see for themselves. Because if that person is not sitting there with us, telling you what's going to change him or her means nothing. But if we can tell that person how to change them, well, then we can
exactly.
actually get started on this. So.
Well, that's one of the most important things, because one of the things that I try to do is try mm-hmm. to make you look in the mirror.
Yes.
It
yes,
is so easy
yes.
to point the finger. But when you look in the mirror and you point the finger, you're pointing at yourself. And that's where you need to look and dig deep to find out, what is it about me that allowed myself to be engulfed and engaged in this person that doesn't respect me.
True.
That doesn't. But is it that he doesn't respect me, or is it that I don't respect myself? Because he respected me enough to tell me that he wasn't ready for a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm. And then why didn't
he
you act accordingly?
Me. Exactly. Sure. Why didn't I take that in? Why didn't I have enough respect for myself? What was so low about my self-esteem? What was I going through? What was that all about? So it's really about taking a real hardcore look at yourself, and then your actions when you want to get upset, when you get upset and you start flying off the handle, how is that going to affect your child?
So you said something. I want to go back a second. When
mm-hmm.
you said respecting self, now here's what I want to know. If a person sees things in a particular way, is it really lower self-esteem, or thus them imagining what things could be, so they shape their reality to what works for them? Or is it really low self-esteem because they didn't want to see it complete? Like, many of us live in many of us have fantasy. Let's keep it real. And many of us want that elusive relationship that we feel is going to complete us. So is it more that, or is it really low self-esteem that a person just can't see the reality of what's going on around them?
It really depends on the person.
Okay.
It really depends, because it could be both. It depends on the person. It could be one or the other, or it could be a combination of both things.
Okay.
Because depending on how you grew up and what you saw, you might want to imitate that.
Okay.
What you saw on TV, you might want to imitate that. Or you might be, you know, the total opposite and you didn't see that, so you're yearning for that. So you're creating these images in your head of what you desire, what you want. But if this person is telling you that that's not what they want, the bigger question is, why are you forcing it on him? If you want it and that's your image, you should still have your image.
True.
Go find that image with someone who wants to have that image with you.
True. I got you. So now you got to tell all these folks where they can get this incredible book, man, and because we want them to be able to get this and read this story. So let them know where they can get your incredible book.
The book can be found at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. It's $13 for the soft copy. I think it's $3.99 for the ebook and $23 for the hard copy. I am going to be at the Harlem Book Fair on July 20th, I believe that it is, that Saturday. I'm going to be in Atlanta doing a book signing at Painting with a Twist on August 31st. So I'm trying to get around. People can reach me on Facebook at Terrell Ebony on Facebook if they want me to ship them a copy, a signed copy or whatever, and I'm out there. But I do have to plug one important thing about this book.
Oh, no, we're not kicking you off. Well, listen.
Okay.
We ain't kicking you off. I just like, because, you know, some people get lost in translation. So, you know, I want them while they sitting on their computers to be able to jump on it and check out your book. No, we're not kicking you off yet, by no means. Do you have a website or anything, or that's just, do you have a website?
Yes, I have two websites.
Plug away.
www.terrellebony.com, that's TerrellEbony.com, and then for the organization, it's the Misunderstood Youth Development Center, www.misunderstoodyouth.org.
Got you. Now, you said you wanted to plug something. Go right ahead, though.
Yes. So, very important about the book. So, we talk about the whole, you know, the whole relationship part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other most important part, because, like, again, I said, this is also for children. I told a story about what I saw my son going through, the different things and the challenges that he went through. So, what it is that your child will get out of this book, if you are going through a divorce, it's going to affect your child. If you are breaking up with your significant other, it's going to affect your child. Most changes affect the children in some way. If you guys are arguing back and forth, even if you are in the relationship, it's going to affect the child. If mommy decides, you know something, daddy is not paying child support, so daddy can't see the child anymore, that's going to affect your child. Mothers who have this notion of, I can be both mother and father because I'm superwoman and I can do it all, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to your child. These are the things that I talk about in the book. It can't happen. Your child needs a male figure. Even if daddy is not there, your child needs a male figure. Go get one. Go get
coach,
a coach, go get an uncle, go get a cousin, go get a teacher, go get a mentor, go get somebody, because your child needs a male figure. And when I say child, make no mistake about it, I do mean male or female.
Can I
little
just add
girls
something?
Need their daddies, too.
Can I just add something real quick? Ladies and gentlemen that's listening to what Ms. Ebony just said, if you're humping and you haven't even set up an opportunity for any type of role model situation with your children, what are you doing? Because if you're keeping it separate, okay, you're keeping your child separate from your dating relationship. But if you're not looking down the road at how this person could at least be a role model or a person that could be a positive influence in your life, come on now. Because it can't be just about getting yours. Because if you have a male that's trying to get at you, ladies, then that also should be a male that should assist you. Not take over for you, but assist you with helping you do what you do as a parent. And man, if you got a sister that you're sneaking over to do something with, offer some time up to help her out if she has children. Now, no one said you have to become their father, but if you're bad enough to sneak over there when they're sleeping, be over there when they're awake.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just drives me crazy because it's like I hear women who and I know you work with the Lady Doves as well as my wife is a Lady Dove, but I have a mentor group that meets once a week. And one of the things that I hear a lot of single mothers say to me is that there's just no resources, there's no men to be around my sons. And I have about 10, on a regular I might have 10 or 12, but we have up to maybe 20 that show up, which is a blessing by itself. But one of the things I hear from all these women is there's nothing around, there's no men, there's no resources. But then I'll say, are you dating? Do you have a boyfriend? They look at me crazy like I'm trying to pimp. No, I'm not trying to pimp. I'm asking is if you have a boyfriend and you have someone that this young man knows about, then how come you're not demanding that he assist you in helping you with your child if he's trying to get at you? And it seems like people are scared to raise the bar because it's going to chase the guy off. Well, you know what? Then he doesn't need to be there with you.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to separate your child from him. Now, yes, initially, yes, I'm with all that. Initially, no, the child shouldn't see if the man is not going to stick around. But once he's there that you're calling him boyfriend or my boo or whatever, and it's been extended, well, then something should be put in place that's going to help you with the situation that you have with this son that you have if his father's not doing it. And the same thing for male that have women issues with their daughters or whatever. There's people out here willing to help.
Absolutely.
So now, you were saying, here's a bigger question, too, with the folks listening. Now, you're a professional. Do you charge for your services? Because folks forget that sometimes we got to eat. And they're coming into all this for free.
Absolutely, because I do have to eat, and you know, making this book was not free of charge.
A little something.
So I do charge a fee. I charge $75 per session, and it's like a gradual progression in terms of how many sessions you have. So I work with people, I understand people's situation, but I also say you get in life what you pay for.
One of the things I realized
is that people will go to the store and they will buy the Louis Vuitton pocketbook for $500. Females, you're gonna buy these expensive Michael Kors $500 bags, but then you will invest in a bag, a material item, but you won't invest in your own mental health. You won't invest in your child. Your investment in your child is material, but you're not investing in the relationship building between your child. If you honestly believe that you purchasing your child the things that they want is going to enhance the relationship between you and your child, you're in denial.
Mm-hmm.
You're in denial.
Go ahead, though.
I wanted to ask a question because, you know, Father's Day just passed. Do you ever deal with father-children relationships also, or is it always single mothers and children?
I deal with both. I'm a parent coach.
Okay.
Mother and father. Men have read my book and literally called me up crying because they see themselves in love. And they said, you know something, I thank you. Sometimes the mothers were telling them certain things, but you know, when you guys are in friction and there's conflict, I may not be really hearing what you're saying because you're yelling at me, you're blocking at me, so I'm not really hearing you. So through reading the book, they were able to actually see, not because of anything that Faith said, but because of the things that Hope said. And I would like to take this opportunity to actually read something from the book.
Terrell, I want you to
okay?
Hold that 1 second because we have a caller that wants to speak to you.
Sure.
So hold your finger right there where you're about to read, and we're going to come back. Like I said, we're not going to kick you off. We're not going to rush you off. We're going to let you rock tonight. I love this conversation. So we're going to hold on and take the caller because, like I said, I love what we're doing with this. Caller, do we have Angie on the line? Angie, are you there? Want to say something to Miss Ebony?
Yes, I am. How's everybody?
Hey, Angie, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Explain. Welcome
to the show. Listen, I'm good.
How's
everybody?
Going?
I just want to commend the young lady. What's your name? Ebony?
Terrell Ebony, yes.
I want to thank her, too, on her information and stuff like that and just enlightening people because a lot of times people don't know things about themselves until somebody else actually says it to them. You understand what I'm saying? When it comes to, like, parenting, some people don't know how to do it. You know, just because
Absolutely.
You had a baby doesn't mean you know how to be a parent, male or female. So, you know, it's important, like she said, to have that male figure in a child's life, you know. I am a single mother, and I must say I did a very, very good job in raising my children, thank God. With the help of the Lord.
Amen.
I have two boys. I can't teach them how to be men, but I can teach them how to be a respectable person. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And, you know, they did have male figures in their life, which is my brother. Shout out to him, because he not only did he took a lot of time. Time is very important when it comes to these children. They need a hands-on, because the society we're dealing with now, the internet are raising a lot of people's children. And
on the
internet is a lot of negative things going on.
Was
it intended for that? No. But what is it happening? Yes.
Well,
so,
it's the television, because when you're talking about something that is on 24 hours and something that just drug out a child to the degree that a child can't run through enough hours before the internet gets old. So a child could go through a whole day and still hasn't even scratched the surface of what the internet can fill its brain with. So TV actually used to shut off at one point, or even TV can get boring because you can only go through the 100 channels so many times, whereas the internet is a living, breathing entity that continues to grow. So the child sits there
every moment,
with it in a negative way. Angie, is there any questions you wanted to have for Miss Ebony going forward? Any questions that you have for
I really don't have any questions. Well, one question is because, again, I was a young mother. I was a mother at 16 years old, you know, and I just wanted to know were there any other influences besides her son to make you go forward with what you're doing now?
The other influences that I had, one thing was my son and I, we always had a very good communication. He just had a problem communicating with other people. And when his friends started coming to him and saying that they had certain problems and they had certain issues and they didn't feel comfortable going to their parents, they said he says to them, well, come talk to my mother. You know, my mother, she'll talk to you about it or whatever. And I became kind of like the neighborhood counselor. I was like, what is this? Mind you, I had no type of, you know, experience in this at all, except for the experience of being a mother. So when I started to see all the kids that were having this issue, that they did not have a place and they didn't feel comfortable talking to their parents, they didn't have a place that they can go and not feel judged, that is what really inspired me to move forward with the organization. Me just seeing everybody around me and hearing all the stories and from my past and knowing my mother and my father, that they, you know, broke up and I was raised by a single mom, just everything all together, put the pieces together. And just something in my spirit was like, Terrell, this is what you are made. This is what you were brought here to do.
That's it.
I hear that. Again, I commend you, you know. And one other thing, like you said, parents need to take responsibility of their actions. You know what? It's a lot going on now that parents are trying to be their children's friends.
I'm not
your friend. I'm your parent. I'm your parent 24/7.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you can't come to me to talk to me about anything, because if I can't help you, I'm not going to hurt you as your parent.
And that kind of lends to the communication that we spoke about earlier, that leads to the disrespect. Because once you start being your kid's friend, they lose respect for you automatically. You done lost 20 brownie points right there. As soon as you know, come in talking about, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? You know, you already lost. You're not on the same, on the right playing field already. And then the communication just goes downhill from there. Parents have to understand, you can be a parent and still communicate effectively and sociably with your child without being their friend.
Exactly. That respect as well as fear. A little. It doesn't have to be frightening.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be overwhelming, but there still has to be that level of respect, and there has to be that line that a child knows that they can't cross. And sometimes as parents, we have to make sure that we express to our children, only because that line can get blurred because of what other parents of other children are doing. And Jimmy's mom says, call me, whatever. So the kid comes in the house and says, hey, KL, and that's when you grab him by the shirt. You ain't got to hurt him.
Oh, no.
Grab him by the shirt and say, what did you just say? Now, it can be Mr. Belvin. It can be Dad.
Exactly.
A whole lot of
exactly.
things. But if you call me KL again and you ain't paying no bills in here, you might catch more than me grabbing you up. Now, did I hurt him? No. But I might have bruised him
right.
a little bit.
And then you know what? It's a reflection to their friends, too. Now that they see how my kids respect me, your friends are going to respect
exactly.
me when they come in my house, you know?
Absolutely.
And you know what? The good thing is I never had to demand it. They already knew what was good. You know, hi, Miss Angie or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, like you said, but we have to respect our children as well.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
No, it's nothing wrong with having a nightlife or whatever, going out enjoying yourself. You just got to know when to separate the two. You
exactly.
still have to put your children at hand first. Keep them in mind first. Listen, I'm not going to disrespect my kids because I don't want them disrespecting me.
Exactly.
Absolutely, and you just have to remember that what they see is what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
Even though I realize that some of the mistakes that parents are making is that they feel as if they're not talking to the child directly, that they're not
mm-hmm.
being disrespectful. So if I'm
mm-hmm.
on the phone and my son is in his room, but I'm talking loud and I'm using profane language and I'm, you know, just carrying on provocative
mm-hmm.
conversations, he's hearing that. So
mm-hmm.
now when I'm listening to him and if he starts cursing, where did he get it from?
Exactly.
Then
yep.
the parent is going to say, I don't curse at him, so I don't know. He didn't get that from me. But you curse
yep.
in the house, he still heard it from you, mommy.
Right.
He still heard it
curse
from you,
around
daddy.
Him, that's enough.
It's
a
around
product.
Him. What you show him is what he's going to become.
Absolutely.
Angie, listen,
absolutely.
I'm going to say thank you for calling in again and being a supporter of the show. Thank you for...
You're welcome. Catch us on Wednesday nights. Divas
you know, I was
Squad.
Getting ready to go there. Go ahead, tell them what's going on with your show, Angie.
Yes, I am one of the newest members of the Diva Squad, Wednesday nights, GQ Palace, 7 to 9, and alongside Rachel and T. So if everybody, you know, call in and listen in, we have little deep conversations and stuff, too, topics. So,
same station.
The
same.
Area, stop by. And again, Miss Ebony, God bless you and your endeavors and your family. And good
thank
luck.
You so much, Mama.
Thanks,
Daddy.
KL. Yes,
KL and the missus, y'all have a great night, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks
too.
A lot. That's one of our station mates, Angie, on Wednesday night. They have a wonderful. It's all love here at GQ Palace Radio, so definitely make sure you check them out. Now, Ms. Evan, you had your finger on a part that you was going to read to us. You want to go ahead and go forward with that?
I sure do. It is called Your Firstborn.
All right.
And this is a poem that is on page 89 of the book, and it reads, Dad, I love you to death because you and Mom gave me breath. I am your firstborn. We used to have a lot of fun. Now it seems like you're on the run. Are you a father, a daddy, or a stranger man? Please tell me now because I don't understand. You were supposed to stick around and take care of me, teach me to be a man, then set me free. But you came and you left. Was I even a thought? For your firstborn, you could have fought a little harder to keep me near, hold me close, not stand clear. I need you. I want you in my life. Will you be around to meet my wife? I used to be angry because I felt so torn. I didn't understand how a man could turn his back on his firstborn. But now I'm growing up and becoming a man. You're missing out on something grand. It makes me sad, just thought you should know the dad who used to be my idol is now my foe. This is from your firstborn.
You know, I can speak on that. That is excellent, outstanding. Because you know what? I deal with a lot of young men, and there is a point where it will turn into you become adversarial. And if it gets too entrenched, it is very difficult to draw that poison out. And that poison can stay there and then move on to the next male. When that male gets older and starts to have kids. And I can speak from personal experience. I didn't meet my father until I was 39 years old. But I needed him at 39 more than I did at 19. Because at 19, we probably would have fought. And I said that to him. I said that if I had met you at 19, I don't think I could have heard a word that you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I had grown to hate you. And I wrote it the other day on Facebook. I was sitting in talking with a young man, and I was he's been reading my book From Gigolo to Jesus, and he said he came up to the part where I met my father, and he said, "How did you let go of the hate, Mr. B?" And I said, "I matured, and I allowed the Lord to take over."
Absolutely.
And what do you mean? I said, "Well, I had gotten to a point where I matured in my faith and matured in myself as a man at 39." That when I wrote my father the email saying to him that if you don't want to have anything to do with me, that's fine. I just want to let you know that I'm okay. I'm married. Here's what your grandchildren look like. But I am not asking you for anything. It is up to you. And then the Lord and my father took it from there. And my father said that he read the email 100 times and said, you know what, I got to reach out. And that's how we were able to open up this door and then cross this bridge together. And with the young men that I work with, some of the stories that I hear them say about their fathers, one young man said that him and his father live in the same neighborhood. They pass each other on the street and barely say anything, and at a barbecue was about to get into a fight, and said he couldn't understand why his father didn't fight back. And I said, well, it's shame. Your father knew he was angry, but he didn't have the resources within himself to explain to you where he had messed up. And so, like many men that are in those situations, instead of making attempts, they just clam up or they go away. Some will start whole new families in a way to say, well, let me start with the new family, what I couldn't do with the old family, even though they know the old family is out there without them.
It's
so your
easier.
Poem was right on point, and that's incredible. Go ahead, Dawn.
I wanted to ask a question.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I can't take credit for that.
Okay.
That was actually a poem that was written by my son to his father.
Wow. All right, if they don't go get the book now, I'm coming to the crib.
That's why I was saying to you, that's why at that point when we were talking earlier and I said that there's something in here for the children, there's something in here, there are things in here, there's so much in this one book that's only 120 pages. There's so much in there that will, if there's something in there that doesn't resonate with you, something's wrong.
Give them the title again.
Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope.
Excellent. And let me tell you something, guys. These are the individuals that we support. There's a lot of trash out there, and I'm not knocking any author, but it is what it is. And there's a lot of things that is not written with the idea of you growing from it. Now, you have the right to write it. It's your right. But when we have authors who try to put things out that's going to be to the betterment of someone or many
personal
folks,
development.
You have to support that because we do not have that type of support going on for folks of color who are trying to help other folks of color. So let's keep it very real and let's get out here and support this young lady's work and find her when she's at different locations and come and talk to her, have a conversation with her. We're so happy that she made the decision to come on with us. And when I put the call out, she was one of the first people that reached out and said, hey, I'll come on. Just let me know what's going on. And so I'm actually glad that we have her on because this is what Tiff and I is about. And any way that we can extend that to others and use this platform is incredible. So now, you said you're going to be at two other signings, but is anywhere else? Because I know you do a lot in the community because I know you work with the Lady Doves. I know you went down to Philly and did some things down there with them.
Yes.
What are you doing in the community? Anything coming up in the community that you're doing coming up?
Oh, my goodness. I do so many things that I often forget about everything that I'm doing. We just had a big community forum in Queens on the No Snitching Street Code.
Okay.
And we did that in collaboration with the Queens District Attorney's Office.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge success, and we're going to be doing part two of that in September. We just had a graduation. I don't know if I talked a little bit about what my organization really does, but one of the programs that we have is called Fresh Start, and it's an alternative sentencing program that I created along with the Queens District Attorney's Office that offers an alternative sentence for young men aged 14 to 19 that have pled guilty to a felony crime. When they complete this 12-month program successfully, as 7 of them did last week, their criminal records are sealed and dismissed.
Excellent. And that's needed because it allows them to get employment once they get to that adult age, that stuff in their childhood doesn't come back to haunt them. And I try to do that on my end in the school. So that is a tremendous service to provide, especially when a lot of these young men, it is that first mistake that they never recover from.
Absolutely. As far as the book goes, I have been in a couple of schools throughout Queens, so I'm trying to kind of build on that initiative right now, where I'm hoping that in September I can go on a book, on a school book tour. I realized that I did a couple of career days late May, early June for some of the middle schools, and the students are gravitating to the book.
Gotcha.
Students
gotcha.
Are gravitating to the book of middle school. So we're talking
about 8, 9, 10-year-olds,
11-year-olds. And it's not even really about them reading. It's about them feeling and it resonating with them because they're going through it right now.
Definitely.
That's what's going on in their home right now, and they don't have anybody to talk to about it. So in September, I have collaborated with a couple of principals, and they're going to purchase the book for the students, and then I'm going to come in, and we're going to talk, have candid conversations with these youngsters about the issues that are going on. So we're going to be talking about how to deal with anger. We're going to be talking about parent-child conflict. We're going to be talking about how to deal with divorce and how to deal with, you know, the breakup of your parents and how for you not to put yourself in the middle, for you not to feel as though it's your fault that this is happening, for you to accept your parents for who they are and not expect them to be something that they're not, because my son struggled with that a lot.
Mm.
Your dad is a revolving door dad. That's who he is. You can't change that.
Gotcha.
At some point, you got to understand that that's who he is. So
gotcha.
It's either you're going to accept him for who he is and be a part of that revolving door and allow him to come and go when he chooses and be okay with that, or you can accept him for who he is and choose not to deal with it and say, you know something, stay out.
And you know what? No matter how old he gets, it'll get to a part of him is always going to feel a certain way, but it's going to be when he gets older, because I know for me, whatever that becomes, when he gets to the age that his focus changes as he matures, so will the questions and so will the way he'll want the answers given to him. And that's also a testament to what you're doing with him as a mother, which is incredible. And, you know, we know so many of the same people, so we're definitely going to be networking in the future, simply because I'm here in Queens also. I do most of my work in Brooklyn where I teach at, but I have a very open-minded principal I'm going to speak to and see how we can work on having you come into our school, because especially with my young men's group, I definitely like to bring in women because I want them to be able to hear it, because many of them go home to moms anyway, so it also works out so they can actually hear that, and so we'll definitely be working on that going forward too. So as we bring this to a close, first and foremost, I want to say thank you so much for coming in and coming on, excuse me, and just giving all this wonderful, tremendous information. Take a minute, run down every website, every phone, anything that you want to give out that has to do with you. Make sure you, you know, say it slowly, because, you know, some folks, they be trying to listen and write at the same time. You know, now that is. But, no, take your time. Give them all your information. Plug anything that you want, because I want to make sure everyone reaches out and supports you.
Will do. Thank you so much to you and your wife for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate the way in which you structured the conversation, because a lot of times people will come on, you know, they'll have me on their show and then I'm doing all this talking, but the fact that you guys have really embraced it and the way you structured and had the format of the conversation was greatly, greatly appreciated. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you so much. We try to be professionals. We get tired of hearing folks just rush you on and rush you on.
I'm trying to say it delicately now.
Thank you. Say the book. Get off. All right. 5 minutes. You got it.
Okay, so
Terrell
Ebony, you can find me at www.terrellebony.com. Again, that's www.terrellebony.com. And that's T as in Tom, not T as in Paul. T as in Tom. And I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter under Terrell Ebony. The Misunderstood Youth Development Center, for those that may be interested in having their youth participate, you can go to www.misunderstoodyouth.org. Also on Facebook under the Misunderstood Youth Development Center, and on Twitter as MYDCENTER, MYD Center. And you can contact us at 718-286-6769, 718-286-6769. If you send me a message, if you contact me, I can get you the book. If you don't want to go through Amazon or BarnesandNobles.com, it's on all of those. It's on all of those sites, so you can get it for get it from there. Again, the soft cover is $13, the hardcover is $23, and the ebook I believe is $3.99. And I am going to be at the Harlem Book Fair on July 20th, and I hope everyone can come out if you are in the New York City area and support me. Again, the name of the book is Losing Love, Having Faith, and Finding Hope. I am a parent coach, so any of your parent needs, I can definitely try to help you to get to that next level in your life as a parent and as an individual. And I just want to say, if you do not have peace within yourself, then it will explain what's going on with your child. It will explain a lot of the other different things that are going on with your child. So it's really a two-part thing. If you feel that your child needs counseling, then that also means that you need counseling. The father needs counseling. The mother needs counseling. Both parents have to
and
do counseling.
And don't be scared of
counseling.
People of color, do not be scared of counseling. Counseling does not mean you're crazy. Counseling does not mean you're weak. Counseling does not mean that you don't know what you're doing. It means that you're getting help for what you don't understand. You're asking a professional to assist you. You're not crazy. Don't worry about what other people think. You are doing what you need to do to make your family unit stronger. Mm-hmm. So please,
and
also
understand
she is a professional. Do not try to offer a bucket of chicken or anything else foolish because you don't want to pay the $75, but the minute I say to the Crab Fest, you on the bus. Okay? She's a professional. You pay a professional to do a professional job. She is an author. You purchase the book so the author can continue to do the things that you enjoy, which is write more books. So
understand
that. Because it is very important because we have to get away from wasting money on the things that we waste money on when there's a professional saying, I can assist you. And with peace, with faith, comes peace.
Amen.
When you get into your faith and let someone assist you, the peace will come. Ms. Ebony, I want to say again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You have an open line. Anytime that you got something that you want to talk about, just hit Tiff and I up. We will definitely set something up for you to come on. You have a home here. Anytime that you want one, feel free because these are the conversations that we try to get into every week. We hope that you'll also continue to tune in on the other Thursdays and tell folks to come and join us because this is what we want to do and change lives and do the same things that you're doing, and that's help rebuild the relationships that people have, whether it's mother, father, mother, child, whoever. Something has
Absolutely.
To make a change. So we appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And anytime that you may want me on, feel free to contact me.
Definitely will. And we'll definitely be talking soon because, like I said, I look forward to networking with you. So my wife and I are definitely going to reach out and we're going to put some things together, okay?
Okay. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye,
that's Tiffany. Talk 11, everyone. Tremendous. You know what? We're not even going to go to a break. We're going to just stay and just recap some things because, you know, Ms. Ebony hit on some very beautiful things, and I love when I hear another professional who's out here doing it. Because this is what it's about. And I definitely love when someone mentions that faith plays a role in it. And she said, doesn't make a difference who you pray to. Pray to them. But find faith in something greater than yourself to help anchor you. Anchor your child. Anchor your relationship. Because you have to put things in place. What you think, baby doll?
You know, it's so funny. I felt like,
you listen to us.
Right. I felt like we were listening to us because we have these conversations every day, all day long.
Yes.
And I finally felt like with Terrell Ebony, thank you, somebody gets it.
Yes.
Because we talk to so many people that don't get it.
Yes.
And it just, oh my goodness, I'm really glad finally pick up her book. I'm going to pick up her book.
Yes, not a problem.
Because
supporting authors.
I definitely want to read it. Because that's what it's about. It's about being the most effective parent possible. And sometimes people are closed-minded, too.
Well, she worked with the Lady Doves and your Lady Dove.
Yes.
And so, you know, Andreen Williams
yes.
is not going to have anyone around her
right.
that's not positive to begin with. Now,
right.
you might get invited, but the minute that you act up, you ain't getting invited back. And so once I saw that she was lined up with the Lady Doves and doing some things with the Lady Doves, I already knew
mm-hmm.
that the credit was already in place because
absolutely.
We know the people that we have around us and we know the people that we network with and we trust their opinions because that's the reason why we get together with them. So once I saw that she was lined up with the very organization that is there with my wife, I knew that Ms. Ebony was on point. But the things that she said was so important because she addresses the male and female.
Yes.
She addresses the child also. And that's so important because I think we forget it's a triangle. That father-mother-child triangle is so special, and it's fragile, but special. And, yes, we got a lot of fathers who aren't doing it. We got a lot of mothers who are hurt because of those fathers and vice versa. And then we have children who are caught up in the mix of that hurt, so they got their own hurt. So we got whole families hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what Tiff and I do. This is what Miss Ebony does. It's a matter of offering ways to end that hurt.
Yeah.
This is why Tiff and I live our lives out loud. This is why we're transparent with the things that are going with us on Facebook is because we want to be able to show you that if you have faith, the Lord will heal everything that's wrong. Now, the healing may not be the way you like it. The healing may not come in a way that you're comfortable, but it's going to come. And nothing lasts forever that's painful. But you have to be able to hold on to get through it. Mothers, if that dude is not doing what he's supposed to do, then you better you. You become smarter. You become educated. You do the things for your child that needs to make it better for the two of you until the Lord brings you that partner. Brothers, if you got trashy sisters out there, check what you're bringing into your life. If you've been played a couple of times, check who you're attracting to you. You might need to get you together. You might need to go back and sit down with moms and just be like, hey, listen, you know, why does this keep happening? And you may need to check with some sisters around you that you're not trying to bed down and ask them, what I got to do differently?
Mm-hmm.
Because we attract what we put out. And parents, if it's about your children, take your egos off the table. If it's about your children, close your mouths and look at your child and say, we're only going to speak if it's about him or her. It ain't about you two. I had a father come to me today, and he said, little dude got out the car. Mom, before she drove off, he ran up the block. He ain't even going to the school because he knew he was going to summer school. So he said, why come to school? And a neighbor happened to tell the mother he never went into the school, so they went looking for him. Father came. We talked. He said, you know, when I get him, I'm going to kill him. I said, don't kill him because you wind up going to jail for that. So he found him right around lunchtime. He brought him to me, and we sat down and talked. So when I asked the guy, what's the matter? I said, tell your father. He's sitting right here. He said, I want my father to spend more time with me. So his father looked like, but wait a minute. Don't I spend time with you? He said, yeah, but you stopped. He said, yeah, because you started messing up in school. I'm not going to do for you if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do in school. And when I asked the young man, do you understand what your father is saying? He said, my father's right. I have been messing up in school because when I don't get the things I want, I got angry. So at the center of all this was anger. And the father looked at me and said, thank you. I said, I didn't do anything. I'm just a conduit. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm just here getting y'all two to talk. But the one thing I give the father credit for, he looked his son right in the face and said, but if you're BSing me, we got a problem because we've been this route. He said, I'll give you anything in the world, but you got to do what you're supposed to do as a young man. And I got to respect that. So please support Terrell Ebony. Please pick up her book. Please stop by her Facebook page. Let her know that you heard her on the interview. She's also on Twitter. Let me just double check. I'm pretty sure it's Terrell Ebony on Twitter also. But these are the people that we have to support. What do you think, baby doll?
You know, it's interesting because over the weekend, you know, Father's Day was
yes.
Sunday. And
at Terrell Ebony.
At Terrell Ebony?
Yes. If you're on Twitter, at Terrell Ebony. T-E-R-R-Y-L-E B-O-N-Y, Terrell Ebony, all one word, at Terrell Ebony on Twitter.
What I was saying is I put a post because it was very early in the morning. I started reading negative posts on Father's Day. And it made me sad because I felt like so much respect is given to Mother's Day. And then when Father's Day comes around, it's no longer Father's Day. It has become Absent Father Bashing Day.
Mm-hmm.
You get
sperm donor.
Yes. Thank you to the real fathers. Thank you to the fathers that are there taking responsibility. It's just, you don't see that on Mother's Day. Thank you to the real mothers. And
thank you for the sperm receivers. just foolishness.
It's such a disrespect. And in a way, it's like a backhanded compliment because in one breath you're saying thank you to the people who are there, but then in reverse, you're slighting the ones that are not there. And I think too much emphasis is being placed on the fathers who are not there. And I got into a discussion. Actually, a lot of women agreed with me, and I started seeing posts about it, but I got into a discussion with one of our bowling buddies, and he was saying that basically this is some people's reality, and that in the case of Father's Day, people want to make sure that the men that who aren't there for their children don't get credit for it. Well, if you make the whole day about the men who aren't there for their children, you are giving them more credit than they deserve. And I honestly feel that we should stop putting so much emphasis on the men who aren't there. And I'm speaking from experience. My father wasn't there for 30 years of my life. I was raised by my brother's father, and I was just reunited with my father almost 4 years ago. So I'm speaking from a place where, yes, my father wasn't there for me, but I never, ever, ever let that come in conversation with the father who raised me. I never said to him, thank you for being here when you didn't have to, because it was evident my biological father wasn't there. It didn't need to be a constant reminder that he wasn't there, because there was someone there that, yes, he took his place and he became my father, and that's all that was needed. So I really think that for the single mothers and the co-parenting mothers, because there is a difference, if you want to know the difference, hit me up and I'll let you know, that we need to start putting more emphasis on the people who are there and not the ones who aren't there.
Listen, Father's Day is Father's Day. If he's a bad father, you know what? Maybe if you say a couple of prayers, maybe he realized that it's time for him. There's never a bad time to turn a relationship around. There's never a bad time to start being fathers. And you know, stop tearing him down. If he's living with enough shame inside himself, even if he acts like he's not. And you know what? Some men distance themselves. And you know what? That's their loss.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to distance themselves from children, stop trying to force him to be the dad that he just can't be, because it may be more tragic having him in your life with him not having a clue than it is having him outside your life. Pray for him.
Yes.
Pray that he figures it out. Pray that your child doesn't absorb that hate and then pass that hate on to his or her children. So share your love with your child and don't worry about it. Miss Ebony said that. Don't worry about what he is. You focus on what you can become. Become so much better a father when you become a father that you don't even have to look back at him and say, you know what, I wish. No, he's going to feel bad. But one of the things that my father said to me and says to me all the time when he talks, he says, I'm just so proud of how you turned out. I wish I had been there. I said, well, you're here now. Let's not even go backwards. You're here, and I'm glad that you're here. I needed you more at 39 than I did at 19.
It's the same thing with my father. Every time my father speaks to me, he cries. Because he said...
Yeah, even when he calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, which we haven't heard from him since last time.
On Father's Day.
Oh, okay, because I was like, don't call here no more.
Every time he speaks to me, he cries. Because he said that he's so happy of how I turned out without him. Because he knows. And for all the women that sit out there and say, I can do it by myself. I don't need a man. My children don't need a father. No, you cannot. And Terrell Ebony said the same thing. No, you cannot. Your children need a father in place. They need a father in place because there's so many things that I could have been if I did not have that father figure in my life. And I recognize that. And you know what? My biological father recognizes that too. So
You know what? But that's what it's about. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that anybody listening tonight, please share the link with someone. Please, because the shows will be archived. We place the shows on our blog, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. That's makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. We put the replays, the archives of the shows there so folks can check them out. I also put them on my blog, which is klbelvin.blogspot.com. So you can actually catch the shows in either one of our blogs. And so the show will be there forever. And we want you to go back and check them out. And also tell a friend. Tell a friend to come listen to the archive, and then tell a friend to tune in each week, because this is what we're trying to do. Our show is centered around helping others. I don't care if I have five listeners. That's five people we're going to help. I don't care if we have 30. I don't care if we have 50. I don't care if we have 100. Whatever we have, that's what we're going to, that's who we're going to try to help, and that's what we're going to do. Yes, we joke and laugh. Yes, we play. Yes, we try to do a lot of things. But what this is about is seriously trying to find a way to change the current focus in relationships. Something has to change, because right now we're destroying ourselves, and we're destroying our children. And I'm so happy that Terrell Ebony is a child activist, because we have to have somebody speaking for children, because I'm seeing some things go on that's scary. Scary. I see little girls, 11 years old, fake eyelashes, clothes too tight, trying to be women. I see young men who are trying to be the grown men that their fathers never were, because their moms drummed it in their head, don't be like your father, don't be like your father. Well, you done said it so many times, they're becoming like you.
Or you're going to be just like your father.
And then you're saying so many things. Is, you know, it's been said, the more we resist being our parents, the more we become them. And it is true. You cannot get away from who raised you if you don't acknowledge who raised you. Just because your mother has an eighth grade education doesn't mean that you have to have an eighth grade education. But if you act like she doesn't have an eighth grade education, you will find yourself drifting backwards. We have to want more, be more than our parents, but we cannot forget our parents. We have to help them. And I teach parents through their kids. I show kids things, and I say, now go home and show your mom. And I have parents come up and say, did you teach him? Yes, I did, and I'll show you too. Come on. So this is what we have to do. So my hope is that folks will hear tonight's show and support this young lady, because this is our first time meeting her, and we're definitely going to have her come back on. Now, you know, next week we have Shawn McKenzie.
Yay.
Shalove.
Yay.
Who was in that horrible movie. I'm just saying, it's not a horrible movie. That movie I don't like. Why don't I like it? Because Antonio Banderas is horrible as a teacher. I don't care what she said. And she's not on the air right now, so I can say whatever.
She's in the group page.
Whatever. I'm not in the group page right now. But I'm just saying. But you know what? She was in it, and we're going to talk to her about what's going on with her and her acting career. We're also going to talk to her about some of her Hollywood connections and what those type of relationships will be, and anything that she wants to share that's going on with her, because the platform and the stage will be open when she comes next week. So we definitely hope that you tune in next week for Shawn McKenzie, who's going to tell us about her role in Take the Lead. And she can definitely explain what that experience was like and what's going on with her currently, because I know she's writing a book, and she better be writing these days, and I know that she's got a lot of things going on. So, you know, baby, this gets fun every week.
Yes, it does. I enjoy it.
And it's real interesting because... Hello? Yeah, okay. Somebody want to... Yeah, you got somebody want to come on? Yeah.
They want to make a comment?
They want to make a comment? Somebody, I guess, has something they want to tell us. See, that's how y'all know it's a live show. You don't know who might just yell up in there. It's the police. But anyway, so these last few minutes, baby. What overall, what you thinking?
No, I was just thinking about the things that we have planned for this summer and, you know, going forward. And I know that, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to go to the event this weekend, but we'll be in Delaware soon.
In August. We'll be at Governor's Island. Yeah, speaking of that, we'll be at Governor's Island July 27th and 28th at the Poetry Festival, New York City Poetry Festival. It's the third annual New York City Poetry Festival. We'll be there selling the poetry books that we have created through Raven Publishing. That is Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5, July 27th and 28th. August 9th and 10th, we'll be in Seaford, Delaware, at an African-American festival down there. We'll be selling copies of the book down there. I was supposed, like I said, to go up to West Hartford this weekend, but I'm going to hang around because my grandmother put in a request. And definitely before anything else, I'm going to ask everyone listening, please pray for my grandmother. It's at that point where it's really just about her being comfortable. And that's what I want for her, is to just be comfortable and as pain-free as possible. She has some things going on, and it's really in the Lord's hands right now. And if whatever the Lord decides is going to be the outcome, I can live with it. Doesn't mean I got to like it, but I live with it. And me and her got together. We talked. We prayed. And I got to honestly say, I was happy that we did. So she's supposed to come home this Sunday so we can have her home. And I can't wait because I'd rather hear than in the hospital. So please say a word to the maker about my grandmother because we definitely want to get her here in the house. So we'll be okay. So
I wanted to mention also that I am going to the Miss New York Finals pageant next month.
Another pageant?
Well, the Miss New York Finals is in preparation for the Miss America pageant.
Another pageant.
And if you would like to go with me.
Are you going to attend or are you going to be involved?
No, I'm attending. I'm attending as a spectator. I'll be in the audience supporting whoever comes across the stage because these are the finals for everyone from New York State. And whoever wins will go to Atlantic City to compete in a Miss America pageant, which I am also attending with my good friend, Lourdes Brezzo. The Miss New York Finals is on July 13th. And if you want more information...
I'm finding this out as y'all finding out. You see how she don't tell her husband nothing?
I tell my husband on a need-to-know basis.
Damn. Really? Wow. I don't have security clearance? I step my game up.
So the July 13th, Saturday, and the finals for New York is in Staten Island. I can't remember the name of the theater at this point, but please inbox me if you are interested in going. And also, even if you're interested in going to Atlantic City with me and watch the Miss America pageant live and not on television, this will be my first time attending, and I'm so excited that the Miss America pageant is back on the East Coast so that I can attend. But the Miss America pageant is in September. That's some time from now. But next month is the Miss New York pageant. So, again, if you want to attend, please inbox me at Facebook or you can send me an email at TiffanyBraxtonBelvin@yahoo.com and I will send you the details.
Well, before we close it out, I want you guys to also remember that Tiff and I do publish books.
And we do that too.
Yes, we publish books. www.bravin.com. Please share the information with family and friends. We are a faith-based company. We try to create books that the whole family can enjoy. This is our mission, and we try to network with folks like Terrell Ebony because as independent authors, it's tough out here. And I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. It is tough out here when you're trying to get folks to purchase books that are designed to enhance. I know folks are into fiction. I know folks are into a lot of different things, and I can't knock what you read. But I am going to tell you that our books, especially our poetry books, are tremendous, and they will cause you to see poetry in a little different light because we make an attempt to give you something a little bit deeper. Not that I'm knocking anybody's poetry. There's so many poets out here that are tremendous. I'm just happy with the 23 or 24, I'll add myself, because I hate talking about myself in the poetry books, but I'm in the first one, and our second one, I can actually say Wordplay 2, The Foundation of Soul, Wordplay 1, Words Are Our Canvas, tremendous poetry books. There's something in there for everyone, so definitely stop by www.bravenpublishing.com, as well as my book From Gigolo to Jesus is there, and I am getting the wife to finish up Stop Doggy Posing.
Yes,
A Woman's Guide to Regaining Her Dignity, and we're getting that done, as well as we're working on the handbook, Making Marriage Cool Again. I'll have that done before the fall to go along with the seminars, and if you need Tiff and I to come and speak at any event, school, wherever, The summer's coming up. This is when we do our biggest amount of traveling. You can hit us up at info@bravenpublishing.com, and we can definitely set up something. And as I said with Ms. Ebony, I'll say the same thing with us. We are professionals. We can sit down and talk about how much it costs to have us come and speak. But we'll work with any organization and outfit within whatever your budget is. Please don't offer us like $25, $30 and a bucket of chicken and say that's all we can do. We can sit down and work on something because we definitely want to come and help. It has been a tremendous night. We had a tremendous guest. I hope that everyone listening learned something. And I'm just going to say thank you, Lord, for allowing me the opportunity to just be here. And I'm going to say, Father, my grandmother's in your hands. So whatever you decide, I'm okay. Tiff?
I'm just going to say God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Might as well call me old. My word felt this vision with precision. It's my wordplay. If we need practice. heaven. Jehovah is my passion. I'm making marriage cool again, a pool of satisfaction. I'm writing flame the heart, that's the way that it should be. A word resurrecting folks, reforms of which it could be. A word flame. My word flame. In the beginning was the word. Have you heard about that word flame? Big dog, little B, we follow what the word say. In the beginning was the word. Have you heard about that word flame? Big dog, little B, we follow what the word say. Word flame.
Yes, my mind.